What's the best way to obtain peace in life? We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hey there. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the program. How are you doing today? I'm glad to be here. My name is Gary Zimek. We're going to hang out for the next 30 minutes. Got some good stuff on the show today. Today is the memorial of St. Mary Magdalene, so when we do the Mass readings for today's daily Mass, we're going to have a special Gospel reading that focuses on St. Mary Magdalene. And in the second part of the program, we'll open up the book My Daily Bread, as we do every Wednesday, and we will look at the best way to obtain peace in life. You know, this is something that we've talked about before on the program. How do we obtain peace? The answer is very simple. Sometimes, though, it's not quite that easy to put into practice. That's what I'm here for, though. I'm here to help you to obtain peace in your life because the Lord wants you to be peaceful. Amen? All right. I heard that all the way from wherever you may be. As I mentioned on yesterday's program, I am currently at the Catholic Marketing Network trade show in Somerset, New Jersey, doing some appearances there, speaking to the Catholic Writers Guild, filming some TV, all kinds of cool things. So I'm pre-recording these programs, and we're going to continue to do that for the rest of the week. So you're going to have shows throughout the week. Quick reminder that beginning in early September, we will once again be doing preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. We'll go through the full 33-day preparation. So if you've never done that before, stick around because I think you're going to really enjoy it. It is life-changing. It is not as difficult as you might think, and I'm going to talk about some of the common objections or fears that go along with total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Believe me, any possible fear that you may have, somebody else has already had, and there's a good chance that I've had them in the past. But I will say this, from the day that I have made my total consecration to Jesus through Mary, which was on October the 7th of 2011. From that day up until the present time, my life has been absolutely incredible. Not that everything from an earthly point of view has gone my way, but the Blessed Mother has brought me closer to Jesus than I ever thought possible. She's responsible for my full-time career working for the Lord. She's responsible for so many blessings in my life. It doesn't mean if you make total consecration, you're going to become a full-time Catholic evangelist. Not necessarily, but you have no idea how close to Christ you will become with the Blessed Mother's help. And if you would like to grow closer to Christ, and who wouldn't? If you would like to grow closer to Christ, this is a great gift that's been given to us by the Lord, and certainly through the church as well. The Lord gave us Mary to be our spiritual mother. Her job is to get us to heaven. How does that happen? That happens by drawing us closer to her son, Jesus. But the church gave us this devotion, total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It was a devotion that was popularized by St. Louis de Montfort. He makes it very clear. He didn't originate it. He didn't create it, but he made it popular. It is a devotion that has been embraced by many popes, including St. John Paul II. And it's going to work. It will work in your life. I promise you that. We'll talk more about it. I plan to do a show in the near future to give you an idea of what this is all about. If you have already made your total consecration, St. Louis de Montfort recommends that you renew it at least once a year. And that's what I'm going to do. So I'd invite you to renew it along with me. I will give you the exact start date soon, but we will wrap up and make our total consecration on October the 7th, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. So that means we start September. I think it's September 3rd or 4th. I got to double check the date. But stay tuned for more information on that. And you will be able to get a copy of the book that we used through Tony Mullen's MyConsecration.org apostolate. Now, I believe this year they're going to start charging for the book just for postage. A little bit, $2, which is definitely doable. We are going to use Father Mike Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. That's the book that we're going to be using. That's an excellent book. Many of you are familiar with it. You've gone through it. You know a little bit about the way it works. And I'll tell you what I've found. Each time you go through this total consecration process, no matter what book you use, you get a little bit more out of it. And that's essentially what we want to do. We want to realize that we're not perfect, and that we're going to do our best to prepare. We'll spend the 33 days preparing for total consecration, but we are human. Therefore, our preparation might be less than perfect. that's why we're supposed to renew it. So I don't want you to panic. We're going to get through this together. And when I say 33 days, we literally will go 33 days right through the weekend. We'll keep the half-hour format for the program. And I'll be right there with you. We'll be doing it together. And I really hope you'll be able to join me for this. Again, there will be more info that follows. But in the meantime, if you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, ready to pray? Before we get started, let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many great blessings that you've given to us in our lives. We thank you for the gift of life, the gift of another day, the gift of nature, the gift of the people around us, the gift of your Son, Jesus, the gift of our redemption, the gift of the church, the gift of sacred scripture. So many gifts, so many things to be thankful for. Father, we are very grateful for the many things that you give to us every single day. We ask you to continue to help us as we strive to stay on the right path, the path that will lead to eternal life with you in heaven. Help us, because we realize we're weak. We realize we get distracted. We realize that many things get in the way of our relationship with you. And we need help, so we ask you for that help. We ask you, Father, to help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be dealing with financial difficulty, those who may be suffering from religious persecution or struggling with extreme weather conditions. We ask you to help all of those individuals. And Father, I give the show to you today. I ask you to take it over. I ask you to speak through me. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We also present to you our own personal needs, our problems, our worries, our troubles. We give them to you because we know that you love us and that you only desire what's best for us. So we trust you with our problems. We ask for all these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you now, and we ask for your prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, I'm all fired up, ready to go. Thanks for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this show every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio, now in its fifth year. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And it's just a great honor to be here 5 nights a week. The show is 30 minutes in length. If you're a new listener, I really hope you can continue to hang out with me. As you may not, well, you may not know this if you're a new listener, but snacking is encouraged on this program. I wanted to say snacking and drinking, but I don't think that sounds really good. You know what I mean, but it still doesn't sound too good. I don't know. Maybe it would help, but snacking and beverage consumption is encouraged. I've got my beverage du jour right here. Today, we're going back to the basics. One of my old favorites. Here we go. You know what it is? You guessed it. A nice tall glass of water with a slice of lemon in it. That was my beverage du jour for a long time before I started getting a little creative. I hope you've got a snack. I hope you got a beverage, because we are just hanging out at the table talking about Jesus and all things Catholic on this program. If you have any questions at all about the faith, about struggles that you're dealing with, about something I say, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you would like to invite me to speak at your parish, and I'm currently working on my calendar for 2016, but I've got some dates open in the fall, in the winter, so maybe Advent. If you want to bring me into your parish, please visit the website followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. You can see samples of my work, see my most popular talks. Also, you can find out how to bring me to your parish. You can always just email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, or you can also contact me through the website, followingthetruth.com. Just use the contact tab, okay? All right, and I'd love to come out to your parish to speak. Let us talk about some good stuff. Now, let's do these daily mass readings. Today, we celebrate St. Mary Magdalene. Christ cast 7 devils out of Mary. She ministered to him in Galilee. and she was one of the few who remained with Christ during his agony on the cross. And with two other women, she visited his tomb and found it empty. Our Lord first appeared to her after his resurrection, and he asked her to renounce his to announce his resurrection to the apostles. So Mary Magdalene played a very important role in the life of Christ. Therefore, on this day, the church gives us a special gospel that we'll read. The first reading, though, is the standard one from the 16th week in Ordinary Time, Wednesday of the 16th week in Ordinary Time. Once again, we continue the saga of the Israelites from the book of Exodus. This is Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. The children of Israel set out from Elim and came into the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt, here in the desert, the whole assembly of the children of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The children of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died at the Lord's hands in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will now rain down bread from heaven for you. Each day the people are to go out and gather their daily portion. Thus will I test them to see whether they follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, however, when they prepare what they bring in, let it be twice as much as they gather on the other days." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Tell the whole congregation of the children of Israel, present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." When Aaron announced this to the whole assembly of the children of Israel, they turned toward the desert, and lo, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the grumbling of the children of Israel. Tell them, in the evening twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, so that you may know that I, the Lord, am your God." In the evening quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning a dew lay all about the camp, and when the dew evaporated, there on the surface of the desert were fine flakes like hoarfrost on the ground. On seeing it, the children of Israel asked one another, "What is this?" For they did not know what it was. But Moses told them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." Now, I made this point on yesterday's program when the Israelites were impressed, that the Lord let the river flow over the Egyptians and essentially wiped them out. They were pleased and they recognized his providence in their lives. But I mentioned on the show yesterday, this wasn't going to last. And human nature being what it is, they're back grumbling again today. And again, you know, it's easy to find fault with them, but we do it all the time. We've got this big intention in our life, something that we really need. We're begging for. We're pleading. We're down on our knees. We're making novenas. We're doing all kinds of prayer directed to bring about a positive outcome to something in our life. What happens when the Lord answers that prayer in a way that pleases us? What happens more often than not is we move on to the next problem. We may utter a quick thank you. But then we move on and we've got additional problems. We forget about the Lord when we have other problems. It's very easy to forget about the Lord when things are going smoothly in our lives. That's human nature. That's exactly what happened to the Israelites. Sure, we want to try to overcome that. That's why we try to learn to be thankful. And again, I told you on the show yesterday, you're going to be hearing a lot more about this in the future from me, because I think it's a serious need. It's a problem in many of our lives, yours truly included. We've got to work on developing an attitude of gratitude for the many things the Lord has given us. The Israelites, they completely lost sight of this. So they're grumbling. They're annoyed that Moses has, with the Lord's help, led them out of slavery. They want to be back to being slaves. So many of us do the same thing when it comes to sin, don't we? We're changing our lives. We're converting. We're growing closer to the Lord. We realize that we've got to turn away from sin. We've got to repent from sins. How many times do we just want to go back and say, you know what? Life was a lot easier when I could just sin and do what I want. It might be easier now, but it's not going to be easier at the end of our life when we're judged. And that's why we want to have that eternal perspective. Our vision has to be expanded a little bit. We can't just look to the present moment for that instant gratification. That's the best way to get to hell. I mean, I don't know how else to say that, but it really is true. The best way to get to hell is just focus on the present moment, do whatever feels good, and yeah, you're going to feel good temporarily, but you will never have a lasting, deep and lasting peace in this life, and you're never going to get to heaven by having that kind of an attitude. And that's why it's always good during Lent, when we fast, when we give up things voluntarily, because we learn to deny our senses, our desire for pleasure. We deny the things we like so that when it comes to sin and instant gratification, we could put off going for the feel-good thing that we really want and look at life with an eternal perspective. If something's not going to help me to get to heaven, then I really don't want to have a place for it in my life. So the Israelites messed up, but God, in his mercy, because he's infinitely mercy, he provided them with food to eat. Now, it was manna. They didn't know what it was. I'm sure it wasn't the tastiest thing in the world, but it was enabling them to survive. Remember, they were going to survive for 40 years in the desert. Keep that in mind, too, when you're praying for intentions in your life. God's got his own schedule. You might not like his schedule, but he's got his own schedule, and he knows what's best. Learning to accept that is going to bring you great peace in your life. But we see another example of God's providence. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 78, the Lord gave them bread from heaven. And this is what he does for us. He gives us the Eucharist. This is one of the greatest gifts that we have. The Holy Eucharist is a way to feed ourselves spiritually. We get great grace from the Eucharist. You might not feel like it each time that you receive Jesus in Holy Communion. You might not feel it, but remember, it's not about feelings. When you take your medicine, if you're on medicine, if you're sick, or if you take some kind of a medicine, you might not necessarily feel the medicine working, but you know that it does work. And that's the same thing with the Eucharist. We know in our mind that this is a great gift, and if we share in our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity through the Eucharist, there are tremendous graces that come about because of it. Doesn't matter that you don't feel it. You don't want to base your life, your spiritual life, on feelings. Back to the psalm. They tempted God in their hearts by demanding the food they craved. Yes, they spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the desert?" Yet he commanded the skies above, and the doors of heaven he opened. He rained manna upon them for food and gave them heavenly bread. Man ate the bread of angels, food he sent them in abundance. He stirred up the east wind in the heavens, and by his power brought on the south wind. And he rained meat upon them like dust, and like the sand of the sea, winged fowl, which fell in the midst of their camp, round about all their tents. The Lord gave them bread from heaven. The Lord will give us what we need to be able to get to heaven. We can't do it by ourselves. We need help. And the Lord will give that to us. And that's where we're being asked to trust in his providence. If you trust in yourself, guess what? You will fail. And in a sense, I like that because it takes the pressure off of me. I know that by myself, I can't be good. I can't be holy. I can't get to heaven. Okay, good. Now, I know also that the Lord has promised to give me what I need to make that possible, to make it possible so that I can get to heaven. What do I have to do? I have to turn to him and ask for the grace that I need and do the things that are necessary. Prayer, reading the Bible, receiving the sacraments. Those things that will help me get to heaven. That's my responsibility. So you see, I do have a responsibility. God does want me to do something. He just doesn't want me to sit back. But with his help, with his grace that he gives us through his church, it is possible to live with him forever in heaven and to be holy. The gospel is from Matthew 13. Oh, no, that's right. We're doing a special gospel. See, I already forgot what I said. The gospel today is the gospel from St. Mary Magdalene for her memorial. It's from John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." Mary stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw the two angels in white, sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he told her. Now, you know, this is a great story because we look at Mary Magdalene. She didn't necessarily believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. She came to anoint the body, and she was weeping because she thought the body had been stolen. So I think that should make us feel a little bit better, because sometimes when we mess up, when our faith isn't what it should be, we get a little hard on ourselves. We get a little too tough on ourselves, I think, because of the fact that we fail. We don't trust sometimes. It's okay. What you need to do is keep asking the Lord for an increased faith, and you need to let him work in your life a little bit. Give him a chance to work. Mary persisted. She hung out there. She was looking for the Lord. And what happened? Jesus reached out to her. She didn't recognize him at first. He reaches out to us too every day, and often we don't recognize him. What do we do about that? The best way that we could start to recognize Jesus is to get to know his voice, to get to know him. And what does that involve? That involves praying every day. That involves reading the Bible. That involves receiving the sacraments, spending time in Eucharistic adoration. When we do these things, we get to know his voice better. We get to know him. That's the key. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to work on a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is not a figure of speech. That is a factual statement, right? We want to be his friends, and it is possible. It will not happen if we don't put the effort into it. Jesus will not force his way into our lives. We might wish that he would, but you know, in the case of Mary Magdalene, what he did was he persisted. He reached out to her. He called her name, but ultimately it was up to her to open the door and let him in. And I think that's the same thing that each one of us needs to remember. We have to do something. We've got to make that effort. We have to seek the Lord. He'll let himself be found, and he'll keep reaching out to us, but we've got to make that quiet time. How often do we pray? We've got to pray every day. There are no exceptions to that. I can't tell you that there are, because they're not. If you're not praying every day, I'm not going to tell you how long you should pray every day, but if you're not praying every day, you've got a serious, serious problem in your life, and you need to address it. You can pray every day. I don't care if you don't feel like it. You've got to pray every day. I do things for my family when I don't feel like it, as I'm sure you do as well. I'm sure a lot of times, out of love, you do things that you don't really feel like doing. That's what prayer is all about. So we pray. It's a good thing to pray first thing we wake up in the morning and ask the Lord, or we thank him for giving us another day, and ask him for the grace to make it through the day. Okay, so St. Mary Magdalene, pray for us. Help us to be able to see Jesus in everything and everyone around us. Let's take a look now at the book, My Daily Bread. This is a great book by Father Anthony Payone, a Jesuit priest. It was written in 1954. If you're new to the show, this is a little book. It's under $10, I believe. You can get it from Tan Books. It's being published by them now. It's also available at the EWTN Religious Catalog. It was originally written by the Confraternity of the Precious Blood, one of the greatest books that you will ever get a hold of. It's very, very powerful. It contains very short chapters. We read one chapter each week on the program every Wednesday Today we're going to look at the last and highest goal, chapter 6. And it's a message about what will bring you true peace in life. Now, the first part of this is a message as if coming from the lips of Christ. So I want you to picture Christ speaking these words to you. My child, my true friends refuse to pursue things simply because they are pleasant. They do not want anything which has only temporary value. All their hopes and ambitions aim at the success which I give, this success which will never pass away. They know that too much love for earthly things can draw them away from the only lasting joy and glory. So in all their daily activities, they keep an eye on me and my commandments. This is nothing earth-shattering, is it? You know this. Are we looking for the instant gratification? Let's continue that theme, because that's what this is all about. Are we only doing what feels good? Are you only praying when it feels good? That is a very common problem. If you're doing it, you got to stop it, but it's a very common problem. We want to pray even when it's painful to pray. And yes, some days it will be painful to pray. If you persist, you are showing your love for the Lord, and you're also going to grow in faith. It's amazing how that happens. The Lord will withdraw these consolations from you. Make no mistake about it, because he wants you to grow in your love for him. He wants you to grow in your relationship for him. So therefore, he's not going to make it feel always good for you, because if it always feels good, you're going to end up praying just because it feels good. You're going to forget about loving the Lord just for the sake of loving him. So this is really a blessing. Among the wonders of heaven and earth, there is no one like me. My works are supremely good, and my judgments are perfectly true. By my providence, the universe is ruled. Let others seek whatever else they desire besides me. As for you, let nothing please you except me alone, your hope, your eternal salvation. Daily look for me above all things. Try to find me in all things. I alone am the giver of true peace and lasting happiness. And there you go. There's your secret to true peace and lasting happiness. Find Jesus in all things. You're going to have to look for him. He's there. You don't have to do something to get him to be involved in your life. He is there. The problem is we lose sight of him. So we're called to look for him in all things. There's a little bit of homework for you. Try to find him. See Jesus in some way in everything that happens to you and everyone you meet. Something to think about. No tongue can describe the peace which God gives to those who sincerely want his will above all else. Many never find this peace because they lack the trust and courage to live entirely God's way. They try to obey God's law only in part. God loves the man who is honest enough to want first things first. That's the message. Obey God's law completely, 100%. The law as spoken through the church, the law as spoken in the Bible and interpreted by the church. This is what we need to do. We can't do a half-hearted attempt at following God's will, or else you're never going to be peaceful and you'll never get to heaven. We've also got to embrace God's will in suffering, in the difficulties, in the problems that we face every day. Why? Because that is how his will plays out. Doing that will bring you tremendous peace in life. Let's end with this prayer. My loving Savior and merciful God, can I be so foolish as to think that I can find happiness without you? Can sin ever bring me true joy when it separates me from you, the fountain of lasting joy? No, I hope with your help to keep my eyes fixed on you throughout my daily life. I hope to avoid whatever displeases you and to live as you wish me to live each hour of the day. Your will shows the way to undying peace and happiness. Let me love your will in all things. Amen. There you go. That is the secret to peace and happiness. Obey God's will in all things. Do what the church teaches. Do what you're required to do by your state in life. Your husband, your father, your wife, whatever it is, you do your good job at work. And also accept any suffering that comes into your life. You do those things, you're going to be keeping God's will. You're also going to be very happy and peaceful. Well, we are just about out of time. The show went quickly today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Even though I'm traveling, I'll be able to check your email. God willing, we're going to do another show tomorrow. We'll talk about finding God's will. What does God want me to do? I hope you'll join me. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.